Amen. 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 Yeah. So wonderful. I pray that you have enjoyed our venture through 1st and 2nd Thessalonians as we wrap up our time in 2nd Thessalonians today. Waiting, certainly waiting on the rapture of the church, the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to take us home. And next week we start the great adventure of looking into the book of Revelation. And this morning alone I ended up talking with someone, and the smoke, I don't know if it's bothering you, it does bother me. And so my eyes water, I cough more, I'm fearful that people around me might think I have COVID or something, and it's just the smoke, you know, my eyes water, blow my nose more than ever, because it just is crazy. But when you get into the book of Revelation, you know the tribulation, you know, the sun is going to be covered, the moon is going to be red, those kinds of things. As I chatted with somebody this morning, and Diane and I marveled at the red sunrise this morning. And so this is kind of a glimpse, and if we think this is bad, which I do, because it bothers me so much, it is going to be horrible during that time. And so for you and I to think this is bad, you and I need to allow it to be a precursor of what the future holds for some, and then the urgency of why we are here today in Christ ought to really blossom. And as we end 2 Thessalonians, I want us to see that he has one final reprimand, if you would, and a couple of admonishments that come out of that. But bottom line, he wants them to remain true to being children of God. He wants them to remain true to everything he started out sharing with them in the testimony that they have, not only in that community, but through the surrounding communities as well. As many of you know, I have announced my retirement, and so it ended up being something more like a semi-retirement, and Joshua is going to be taking my place here. The bottom line is, I'm sure it's his heart's desire, as well as my heart's desire, that this church remains true to everything that is in God's Word, is in Christ, everything that he is in you, to remain true to all that you have. Remaining true to the Word of God is the key for spreading the gospel. I can't say that enough. You know, and we live in these turbulent times, and we can actually find ourselves complaining and moaning and criticizing a whole lot more than being settled in being a child of God. Being settled in the fact that, hey, I'm a child of the Most High God, and his joy, his peace is mine, and I can celebrate that. Why? Because I have this tremendous hope. Even today again, I have heard how suicide has impacted a family in our midst, and it's heart-wrenching to see that, to hear that, because it is so prevalent, and it is people who have given up hope because they didn't think they have a purpose, or because they thought everything around them is just so dark, and they give up in it, and within it, it's because of that lack of joy, that lack of hope, that which we have in Christ Jesus our Lord, and wanting to remain true to Jesus Christ, wanting to remain true to the Word of God, wanting to remain true to the Creator of the universe. His holiness is Christ in me. I have the righteousness of Christ. And if you are in Christ, you have the righteousness of Christ put to your account. And that is the holiness of God, to be able to stand before Him in the day that we are called home, or the day that we are called home through the veil of death. the truth of all of that. And don't let this world or the evil one rob you of all the joy that is in him, all the peace that is in him, because absolutely, positively, as I shared a couple of weeks ago, nothing can separate you and I from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? Amen. And let's get there. Let's be firmly rooted in that, and let's remain there. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, thank you again so much for your word. Lord, we rejoice in the new birth with Vanessa and Joshua and their baby girl. And Lord, I pray you'd richly bless them. Lord, we think of this family that is just struggling so much in the hurt and the pain of losing a loved one so tragically. And Lord, I pray you'd wrap your loving arms around them and comfort them as only you can, and use your people in their lives to share all that you are, to listen, to bring comfort, to encourage. Father, as we look into your word in this final chapter of 2 Thessalonians, Lord, I too pray that your spirit would just have free rein in each of our hearts. Lord, meeting the needs that we have, the cries that we have. Father, for your glory and your glory alone. So meet us in the midst of the storm, so to speak. Meet us in the midst of the days in which we live in. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. As we look at remaining true and the fact that it is the key for spreading the gospel, as Paul is closing this dear letter, he wants to remind them of something very, very important. If you and I are going to spread the gospel, if you and I are going to remain true, bottom line, prayer is essential. Prayer is always essential. And it's probably one of the things that a Christian, a child of God, neglects the most in their lives besides reading the Word of God. And you and I can be guilty of it. We get caught up in being too busy over here rather than praying for people. Notice what Paul does. Notice the first couple of verses. And he goes, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is with you. Bottom line, he wants the word of God to flow out of them, out of Paul and the entourage that's with them, as well as the folks in Thessalonia. You and I, the word of God, the truth of God's word, the gospel will not flow out of us unless we're a people of prayer. Now, hopefully you pray for me. Hopefully you will pray for Joshua if you're not already. I've encouraged you over the months to be praying for him since we knew that God was going to place him and God had called him out here. But don't stop there. Pray for yourself. Lord, I want the word of God to flow out of me, you. Wherever God has placed you in this life, he yearns for you to be a minister of his and to stand true in the word of God. And he is just simply saying, pray for us. It is God who works through us. You know, I look at folks and I try to encourage them to follow God's word. And one thing I've learned over the years, which I still have a hard time gravitating to, is this fact. It takes the word of God and the Holy Spirit to change lives. I can't do it. And boy, do I beat myself up if people don't. Follow God's word, don't want to be blessed by him in their life. It is a joy to walk with God. And if we don't see that, we're going to have a hard time entering into it. We have hope when we walk with God. We will have joy when we walk with God. We will have comfort in the pain when we walk with God. And so having it flow out, the word of the Lord, that may run swiftly and be glorified, it's all for his glory. Oh, the kids are having fun again. I love it. I love it. Yeah, so don't let it distract you. But it is so, so good to have the word of the Lord run out of us. It just bubbles out of us. It flows out of us so that people glorify God, that you yourself glorify God. Notice how he continues on in prayer. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable wicked men, and not all have the faith. Boy, is that even true today? You know, Paul realized that where they go and they share the gospel and things like that, not everybody's going to receive it. They're going to be stiff-armed by some, and some are even going to be angry and even to the point of hate, wanting to bring hurt and pain to them for doing it. And Paul suffered a lot as he carried out the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's just saying, hey, pray that we might be delivered from wicked, evil men. Boy, I don't know about you, but even in the Lord's Prayer, it wants us to pray that we would be delivered from the evil one. You ought to pray that for yourself. I ought to pray that for ourselves. Well, also, that guess what? There are people who want to bring that distraction, that crushing blow, and to be able to say, yeah, deliver me. I want to be your vessel. I want to be the one that shares the word of God in a crazy world, an upside world. I want them to see Christ in me. Not everybody's going to receive that well. I want to be able to do it for your glory, that God would do something special as we do this. Now, notice how he continues on in this prayer. But the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. So he adds to that, God will work in you. If you remain true to God's word, and if you remain true in prayer, and the Holy Spirit then has that firm foundation within you because he dwells within you to work in you, God will work so that you can be a tool in our God's hands. I don't know about you, but I enjoy being a tool in God's hands. And sometimes I sit back and I go, pull. Only you, Lord. There's no way I could have done that. No way. I've shared with you often that God has asked me to do this thing, Story Worth Telling, for my kids. And in the end, after 52 weeks of answering specific questions, it'll be made in a book for them, for their kids, our grandkids, and things like this. This last week, the question was, tell of a trip that you enjoyed and that God blessed. Well, you know, I've had so many of them. And so I decided I couldn't settle just on one. And so I shared a lot and then kind of prioritized at the end and gave one that was such a huge blessing. But I start thinking about it. God's blessed for me to go on so many different trips and use me in the midst of them. Like going to Israel, you know? I wanted to go just as a sightseer. I was exhausted in the ministry. I just wanted to go kick back, bah, and enjoy and celebrate and worship my God, you know? And we get there, and guess what? Everything fell apart on the bus for our chaplain who was going to be there, and I soon find myself a chaplain of the bus. And it is an eclectic group, not very few Christians on a Christian tour, which kind of blew my mind that people would sign up to go on a Christian tour and they weren't Christian. It was very easily told by lifestyle and things like that. But I had the joy of sharing Peter's sermon at Pentecost with those folks. Now, as I realized what I was asked to do, I'm celebrating and I'm trying to enter into Scripture again, the way I like to, very, very actively putting myself in Peter's place. And he's sharing the word with thousands of people. And I'm sharing the word with 60 to 80 people. But was their need just as great as the folks in Jerusalem that day? Oh, yeah. And so I realized, gosh, Peter, though he's filled with the Holy Spirit, he's got to be filled with all this emotion as he's sharing the truth of God's word. He's not living in fear. He's letting the word of God flow out of him. You know, one of the greatest trips I've been on was a trip of urgency. Got a phone call. My dad was dying. Dad was separated from God, lost. He and I had odds. It was horrible, you know, and I hadn't talked to him in years. And my son and I went. And what God did in the midst of that, in saving my dad, I walked away, and we're celebrating on the way home, my son and I, and going, only God. Only God. Only God could take me 10,000 miles and use me. Only God could take me a few hundred miles and use me. And there's many other stories like that. You and I have the same thing. It might be just going to El Bronco, Subway, Fieldies, the bank. There are so many places that we can go. Safeway, Walmart. You know, all of those places that we go, the neighbors, you and I have to pray, because we're praying that God would use us, that we would be that, that he would protect us from the evil one, and that he would open up the door. Verse 4 goes, and we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both to do that, that you do and will do the things we command you. In other words, you're going to be obedient to God's word. We have this confidence in you that you will do that. Obey God. Bottom line, and then he goes this. Now, I love this. Now, may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Into the love of God. I pray that for all of you all the time. Many of you know that if you filled out the cards, that's things that I pray about, that God would just plunge your personal heart into the love of God, that you would grow in the love of God, that I would grow in the love of God. So it's something I pray for myself, to be able to grow in that area where we grow closer in this relationship with our Savior, the one who has given so much so that we could have life eternal and have life here. You know, in that patience of Christ, I want you to know that Greek word really looks like it's cheerful endurance. What? Yeah, that's what it really means. And that's what he's saying. He goes, I want you to be able to have joy in enduring in life's issues and pains that come our way. And I want you to realize that it comes from Christ, comes from, it is grace given to you and I through the wonders of salvation, through the indwelling of the Spirit of God, that you and I can get there in the midst of everything else. Wanting that to truly work within us, to love the Lord more deeply, to be able to grow closer to him, intimate relationship with him, and allowing it to be something that just drives us deeper into the love of God, realizing he just meets every need in my life. Now, he doesn't meet every want in my life, but he meets every need in my life. And separating the two, God can do in your life and my life in a wonderful way. So, prayer is essential. If you and I are going to remain true to who God is and be driven into the love of God, you and I have to do it on our knees. There isn't any other way, you know, and the calling is true. You know, at the end of this service, I'm going to play an old radio thing by Paul Harvey, and there's only about a dozen of you who even know who Paul Harvey is, probably, but that's okay, and I just want you to know that he did this in the early 60s, and it is so relevant for today. And if you and I are going to live in a time where it seems like evil is growing and Satan is winning, I want us to know that we have to remain true, because guess what? He never wins. And he can never have control over the child of God. Amen? And prayer is essential to experience that. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to experience it. In life, in marriage, with my children, my grandchildren, right down through the line to folks in the church, just wanting to have that time where we see God doing a great thing. As essential as prayer is, prayer then ends up hitting our lives and our testimony. So proof then becomes effectual. Proof is effectual. In other words, my testimony in Christ then becomes extremely effectual in how we carry out the gospel, how we remain true to all that God is. Bottom line, he goes here, guess what? And he is in a moment of correcting. He goes, I want you to work for a living. Notice what he says in verses 6 and following. But we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the traditions which he received from us. In other words, they're living in sin. They're being disobedient to the word of God and to the call of God in their lives. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you. And here's a specific way in which they were not disorderly. Nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. And not because we do not have authority. In other words, they could have asked for those needs to be met, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. That's really very, very straightforward, you know, in wanting to encourage people. But the proof of our life is that we are doing everything we can possibly do to work for a living. Now, I know a lot of people can't. I know that disabilities are real, so don't think I'm even going there. But let's look at our day and age. I can't go anywhere without seeing positions open, staff wanted, come and take a job if you want it. Matter of fact, just in the past 2 weeks, I was sharing with a family that was in need and things like that, and I asked about work, and the issue was, I know there's people here and here, and I mentioned a couple of fast food places. Oh, I'm not going to flip burgers for a living. You know, back when I was unemployed, back in the 70s, during that recession, man, I would work three jobs, to make up for the one job that I had, because that was wired within me, that survival thing. And I sense, I'm not going to declare it, but I sense that the government assistance is such today that the thought of work has somehow bumped it out. And that's just my opinion, you know, but I do encourage people to work for a living. It's not a bad thing. And, you know, menial tasks is okay. Those things are okay in this world. And to be able to do things. I'm not saying that the minimum wage shouldn't be upgraded and things like that. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying we ought to have the gumption, if there's a job available and we have the ability to do it, to work for a living. That's what he's telling them there. And the outcome of them not working was something very crucial that often happens as well. If people don't work, guess what? They have too much idle time and they become busybodies. Notice what it goes on to say. For we hear there are some who, verse 11, who among you who in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies, gossips. You know, those things are really hugely destructive in churches. People that are busybodies. You know, I've heard of and I've seen so many churches that it's like the Hatfields and the McCoys. And if you're too young to know what that means, go look it up, Google it. You'll find out. But they just can't get along no matter what. Those people say red, these people say yellow. If these people say let's do it, these people say no. You know, the next month, if these people say okay, let's do it, these people say no. You know, it is that weirded out and they become busybodies and then spreading rumors to others that are not exactly true. I'll share with you a rumor that happened here in this community. I was down at one of the places and doing what I do down here in town, and somebody goes, hey, I understand you're closing. I said, no, we're not closing. That's far from our thinking. It's not even a thought, you know? And it's just a word of mouth thing that somehow happens, where truth becomes untruth, that becomes something else, that becomes destructive. You know, maybe when you're young, you tried the phone game, landlines only, where you shared something over here with a person and they share it all down the line, and 20 times later, what they come up with is totally different. What was changed the first time? Busybodies become destructive in churches and communities. Your life, my life, are going to impact others, and we must impact them with the truth of God's word, the wonder of God's word, and all that he is. Ah, verse 12 and 13. Now those who are such, we command you to exhort through the Lord Jesus Christ that they work in the quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. In other words, folks, keep glorifying God in everything that you do. For that is the will of God in Christ Jesus, that we glorify him in all that we do. We celebrate him so that people can see us and impact their lives for good, wanting them to grow in a wonderful way. Verses 14 and 15 says, and if anyone does not obey our word of this epistle, note that person, and do not keep company with them, that they may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. In other words, if they made a profession of faith, you know, back off fellowship because you can't fellowship with them, but just admonish them, encourage them to walk with God and do what is right. Now, and that would glorify God. Proof in your life and my life. You know, I've shared this before. You know, I was at a pastoral conference, and they asked the president of the institution that I graduated from, they asked him what he wanted his epitaph to be on his cemetery stone. Now, what was so neat about that was Diane and I had just been on vacation, and we had been up in the Maine, Massachusetts area, and you wouldn't believe the stuff that they write on the old ones. I'm talking about the 1700s and 1800s. There would be these long epistles, some of them so beautiful, and other ones, whoa, they wrote that? She finally can't talk anymore. Now, I wouldn't have put that, even if it was true, I wouldn't have done that. But many of them were just beautiful things of how they lived and how they wanted to care for people and how they met people's lives. You know, Milo, he stood up there, you know, and they caught him off guard. And he goes, I would hope that they would see I am faithful to God. Well done, good and faithful servant. I could catch it, what Milo wanted. And by the way, Milo's home with the Lord now. But, you know, for me, and then it came to us, what would you want? And we had to write it down and share it anonymously, you know. And mine has always been from that moment on that he loved God. I am in praying all of these years, 30 plus years, that my life would reveal to my children, my wife, to the sheep that God entrusted to my care, that I am a man that loves God. What would be yours? See, proof, our testimony is so effective in the hands of a holy God. It is something that he uses for his glory. And when you and I live a duplicit lifestyle, it becomes hard for him to bring glory to himself. And by duplicit, I mean we walk over here one way and talk one way, and over here we talk a different way. And that, yeah, they just don't mesh to who we are in Christ Jesus. Proof is essential. Bottom line, again, you and I won't do that if we're not prayer warriors. It's not going to happen if we're not people who love God's word and want to walk with him in God's word and celebrate who he is. Because bottom line, peace will always be eternal. When prayer becomes essential in our lives and we want the word of God to flow out of us, the gospel, and the proof of our life is real, it is Christ in us, I want us to see that peace is truly, truly eternal. Notice what he goes on to say in his closing benediction. He says, "Now, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always, in every way. The Lord be with you all." What a wonderful way. I want you to know the peace of God is a grace gift. Think about that. It is a grace gift. Christ himself said, "My peace I give unto you. My peace I leave with you." You and I cannot have true peace. Neither can our neighbors. Neither can our lost folks. Neither can the child of God who has lost hope have any peace if you and I don't bring it to them and live it in front of them. And it is the gift of God, and it comes through the Spirit of God in our lives. You can't muster it up on your own. I can't either. And Christ knew that. And as he was talking to the disciples that final night, he says, "Here it is. From me to you. Live in it. Walk in it." He didn't say life is going to be a bed of roses. But he said you and I can find peace as we walk with him and his word and pray and commune with him. We can find it in the midst of anything. So let's stop complaining about COVID. Let's stop complaining about all the junk out there, because Christ wants us to live in peace. Listen to what Paul Harvey said in the early 60s. "If I were the devil," listen to what he says. We have to be honest that things haven't changed in the 60 years that Paul Harvey declared that on the radio. The one thing that might have changed is that it would be fact-checked and canceled. The reality is you and I are the only living testament that this world, many in this world, will get to see and read. And as I close out my days here, my prayer is, remain true to all that He is, the Word of God, the Spirit of God within you, because it is the key. And last but not least, verses 17 and 18, the salutation of Paul with my own hand, which I sign in every epistle, so I write, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. For us to accomplish any of that, you and I have to walk in the grace of God that has been so freely given to us. The bottom line, prayer is essential. Our testimony, the proof of our salvation, is so effectual in showing Christ to others. And bottom line, peace. It will be eternal, and we can live in it, walk in it now. I don't know where you are. My hope and prayer is that you are in Christ. That's where it starts. If you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, don't leave this place without that, because that's the only way you'll have and experience the peace of God. It's come from having your sin forgiven by trusting Christ alone. He died on the cross for a purpose, and the purpose was to remove sin and to give us His righteousness so we can stand before a holy God. If you are in Christ, become prayer warriors for yourself, for others. It is fun to pray for others that they would walk with God and serve Him. Be wary of your testimony. What do others see in me? Because you want them to see Christ crucified in you. Live in peace even in the moments that there isn't peace in your heart and life because of the trauma and tragedy around you. Walk with it. Celebrate it. Because He is a God of peace. As we stand, I'm going to invite Pat and Lisa, and Joshua will be over here. If you have a prayer need, if you would like to trust Christ as Savior, as we sing and the worship team comes, let's celebrate who He is. Let's make some commitments in our heart because of who He is. Let's stand and close our time in prayer. Our Father and our God, we love You. Lord, we just thank You again for all that You've given us in Christ our Lord, and might our prayer lives really, really just blossom because we see the need for it and how it'll impact us and how it'll impact others. And Father, might we be concerned about our testimony as we walk our everyday life, knowing that some will see and celebrate and want to ask, why are you so happy, so joy-filled, so sturdy? Oh, Father, might our lives reveal the peace of God which passes all understanding, because You are the God of peace. Oh, Father, grow us in your grace this day. Meet every need in our heart and lives. And how I pray that if there are some here that are struggling in whatever area, that they would come. They would come and say, just pray for me, if nothing else. And Lord, how I pray that nobody would leave this place without receiving the greatest gift ever given to man, Jesus Christ the Lord as Savior. For it's in your Son's name we pray.